Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let not your heart grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The main point is, I want to point this out to you, that the condition of your life is not, we have got to get out of the victim mentality. Joyce Meyer, I love what she says. She said, you can either be a victim or a victor, but you can't be both. So, and I'm telling you what, one of the things that is just being poured out on our kids, and we hear it too, is this victim mentality. Well, I'm black, or I'm Hispanic, or I'm white. You know, now the white people are saying that's, you know, now it's a problem to be white. You know what I mean? And it's not a problem to be black. It's not a problem to be Hispanic. It's not a problem. That is a con from the pit of hell. Amen. You know what? Amen.
Amen.
You know, Joel Osteen, who, by the way, after he's done preaching, goes to a place and shakes the hands of every person, you know what, every Sunday, you know what, until there's nobody left that wants to say hi to him. I'm telling you, people speak a bunch of junk. They don't know nothing. Somebody say amen to this. And you be careful on who you throw a bunch of, you know what, well, I think, and they oughta, and you know what, just here, I love you. Shut the moutheth upeth. Amen. Amen. You know, someone was ripping on Oral Roberts, and I like what somebody said. He said, listen, until you get at least half the people that Oral Roberts have got saved, why don't you just shut up? Amen. Amen. This is good preaching. You know, a bunch of people doing nothing, criticizing other people who are trying to do something. It's just absolutely. Anyway, it's not my point, but it is the Holy Spirit's point today. How many receive that? So, he's talking to an elderly man, finds out this man is 98 years old, and he says, and he's been waiting in this line, and he says, Joel Osteen says, I'm sorry, why didn't some, we could have had a chair for you, you know what I mean? And he said, I don't need no chair. And Joel Osteen said, how old are you? And he said, I'm 98 years old. He said, you're 98 years old. You look so good. He said, you know what? He said, your face looks so clear. I don't even see any lines in your face or anything. He said, let me tell you, black don't crack. Amen. I'm saying, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. But I'm telling you, there's something that you need to thank God for your heritage. Amen. You know what? Praise God for your heritage. Amen. I said, praise God for your heritage. Because there's stuff that is a blessing. You know what? I mean, in all your dysfunction, you are blessed. Amen. You know, some of you can cook a carne asada. Amen. My family took a drive, you know what, through the country, and they were in some, you know, Mexican restaurant in St. Louis, and they asked for a carne asada burrito, and they didn't know what carne asada was. You're trying to figure it out. And they said, oh, a steak burrito? Oh, yeah, we know what that is. Okay, yeah. Anyway, all I'm saying is thank God for you know what, who God has made you. Does that make sense? But understand, you know what, but understand when you got born again, you know what, you stepped up in your heritage. Does that make sense? And understand that if you take, guys, keep that passage up here. If you understand this, this is one of the most incredible passages in the New Testament because it brings such awareness of our choice. We've been told, oh, no, you're a victim. You're not a victim. Amen. You don't have to be a victim. Amen. And yes, and yes, and yes. You know what? All of us have opportunities to be defeated. People who've criticized us and people who've treated us wrong. You know, I like what one person said. You know what? He said respectfully, get over it. Yeah. Amen? Because that's what you've got to do. You've got to forgive them and move on. But what Satan would have you do is focus. You know, again, look at the passage. Look at the clarity. You know what? That if we, you know what? If we won't lose heart. This is not on God. This is on us. James chapter 1. Look at verse 5. James chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, next verse. No. Five. That's a good one, but we're not going there yet. James chapter 1, verse 5. Did I say 5? Yeah, I meant 5. That's what I meant. James chapter 1, verse 5. Look what it says. If any of you lack... That's 5:1. I want 1:5. Guys, just follow me, okay? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Here's how God gives. He gives liberally without reproach. Why? Here's why. Because God is a giver. Look at your neighbor and say, God is a giver. Look at your neighbor and say, God is a blesser. That's what God does. God is a blesser. Now watch this, because it just gets stronger. We've got to understand our responsibility, and God is a blesser. What I want to teach you today is God has got this commanded blessing that he wants you to walk in. When God commands something, it's not, there's this commanded blessing that God has given to us. God is not asking. God is commanding. And all we have to do is just stay on his side, and it'll happen. These blessings will come. They will overtake us. Listen, all we have to do is be willing and obedient. That's all we have to do. All we have to do is serve God. All we have to do is prioritize our life and say, God is the most important. Listen, and then just get ready. Here's why. Because that's how God is. He gives liberally without reproach. Why does he do that? Because he's a blesser. That's who he is. Look at what it says. If anyone of you lack wisdom, let him ask him God who gives liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Not maybe, not kind of, not so. Why? Because that's how God is. Look at this next verse. But let him ask of faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. See, here's what you've got to understand this. God is a blesser, but we can get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. Look at this next verse. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God. Look at your neighbor and say, you can get away. Or you can get in the way. Tell your neighbor, you can get in the way. You can get in the way. Janice, so here's what Satan wants to do. Listen to me. He wants to deceive you and get you to think that God is not the blesser. Because if he can get you to think he's not the blesser, then you can get in the way. You ever just tripped? You know how I broke my toe? I tripped. What did you trip over? I tripped over me. Tyler was looking. Tyler looked at Tamara. What did he just do? I got up. I tripped over me. Whoa! I landed on one foot, but the other foot just kicked. Thank you. Just kicked part of the furniture, and then when it did, I was like, oh shoot. And you know how you don't look down. One time I was nailing some some crown molding up, and it was like on a corner. It was actually a chair rail, and it was in a corner. And I had my, I was holding it on this thing, and I had the nail here, and I hit it here. Well, what do you think that long nail is going to do? And it went right through the wood, and it went right through my finger. And what did I do? What did I do? My father-in-law was there, and I was like, I didn't even look at it. I was like. So I told him, I said, how bad is it? And he said, oh, yeah, it's right through your finger. Same thing. So I kicked it, and then I was like, I wouldn't even look down. And I thought when I looked down, somebody say blood is good. Okay, blood would have been good. I would have been happy for blood. There was no blood. It's just the toe that was going this way was going like this way. I was like, shoot, there's no blood. We get deceived. And Satan's plan is to get us off the truth. Let not that man suppose to receive anything. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I got to put this all together for you real quick, and then we'll get to the message. But this is really important. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, look at what he does. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the Garden of Eden? Listen, Satan went to Eve to try to confuse Eve on what God said. Satan is doing the same thing to you today to try to get you to think that God is not the blesser. And you have all kinds of people, even preachers, who mock people who say God is a blesser. There's this backlash. And I'm telling you this, it's craziness. When Jesus said, let me tell you what, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It's craziness that anybody would even question that God is the blesser. Here's what the Bible says in James, that there's not even a shadow of turning in him. Amen. Let me tell you about God. God wants to bless you. In what area? In all areas. I said in all areas. He tells you this. You know what? He wants you to be prosperous. You know what? As your soul's prosperous. He wants you to be in health and prosperous. What? As your soul's prosperous. That's what he wants. Do you want your kids to make a lot of money but then not have good health? Do you want your kids to have good health but, you know what, but not be able to put two nickels together? Do you want them to have a lot of money but not a good marriage? Do you want them to have a good job but end up in the loony bin? See, what do you want for your kids? You want your kids to prosper in every single way. You, knowing how to give your gifts to your kids, being not so holy, you know, how much more does our Father know how to give good gifts to us? Does that make sense? See, you don't think you're more righteous than God. Amen. You know what we do? We are impugning the character of God when we start to think that God doesn't want to bless us. No. Don't say that about my God. Amen. I said, don't say that about my God. You know, don't ever think that God, you know what, gave you a sickness or a disease. You know, so I've heard this so many times. You know, oh, I was, you know, I got in a car accident, and you know, oh, who hit you? Oh, a drunk driver. You know, but I got in the hospital and I was in the hospital and I couldn't move and I was there for, you know, 3 weeks and God started to speak to me. What, you know what? And I know that God caused that car accident that I could, you know, understand, you know, and come back to him. Okay. So God caused that car accident where that drunk driver hit you. So was God encouraging that guy to drink? See, I'm telling you what, you start to play this stuff out, and this is craziness, amen? We need to look at our friends who say this stuff and go, you know what? We need to teach them good doctrine, amen? This is nuts. Amen. I'm still smiling, all right? I'm not. But you hear that man, it disgusts me that Christian people would say this about our God. God didn't cause that car accident. You think God is trying to get people drunk and on the highway? It's ridiculous. No. God is a blesser. Amen? Yes. Amen. We catching that in this foundation? What does Satan want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? He does that, and the only way he can, by trying to mix you up in your mind. Same thing, you know, has God's questioning what God said. Uh-uh. That's not my God. So where does the power lie? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, exactly. Look at the text. Where does the power lie on? Listen, who makes this decision for Eve? Eve made the decision. And then Adam made the decision. This wasn't God. This wasn't God forcing them to do this. It was their choice. You want me to prove it to you? Look at Psalms 115th Psalm. Look at the 16th verse. I quote this all the time. I teach this in Academy of Righteousness, I think level 4. Now the serpent, no. Psalm 115, 115th Psalm. And look at the 16th verse. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he, God. I thought God was all powerful, Pastor. He is all powerful. What did he do? You think God's not powerful to set something up the way he wants to set it up? He can set this thing up any way he wants to set it up. Let me show you how he set it up. See, you cannot... say what the Bible, you can't be accurate to say something different than the Bible says. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given. Who did he give it to? To the children of men. To the children of men, amen? How many have a daddy? Raise your hand if you have a daddy. Okay, let me try it again, because some of you, I know, are not zombies right now. How many have a daddy? Raise your hand if you have a daddy. Okay. Say, I have the power. See, God has told you to take dominion on this earth. Jesus said it. He said, you are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. You're the light of the world. You don't like your marriage? Fix your marriage. I'm smiling now. You don't like your marriage, you fix your marriage. Amen. Well, yeah, but my marriage is bad because of my spouse. Well, you be a light to your spouse. Amen? You know, your husband isn't sweet, you be sweet to him. Amen? Do unto others as you would. Why? I told this to y'all Wednesday. Some of you missed Wednesday. You missed it, so I'll give it to you again. Amen? You know what? Listen, why do you think that doesn't apply to your husband? No, you don't like how your husband treats you? Well, the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You don't like how your wife treats you? You have justified your ungodly behavior because of how your wife acts? Are you a Christian? I'm just asking. Are you a follower of Christ? Because Christ said, no, don't do unto others as they do to you. Do as you want them to do unto you. Does this make sense to somebody? You know, and here's the thing. If you'll start invest, how come your marriage was so good before you got married? Oh, Come on. You're like, oh, you know what? You saw your wife, you know what, in her wedding gown. You're like, oh, I'm the luckiest man on the face of this earth. Right? Right? You're like, hey, woman, get in the car. We're going to be late. Well, could it be that you are deceived? Could it be that you're reaping what you sow? Could it be that God is right and he says, as you measure out, that's how it's getting measured back to you? I'm just asking. All I'm saying is, guys, understand what's going on here. We act like we don't have power to change things. The Bible says, I quoted to you already, the same spirit that lives inside God, Jesus Christ, and raised him from the dead. What's that spirit? That's a supernatural spirit. Amen. That's a spirit of life. That's a spirit that can cause death into life. You can change your marriage. Any of you could change your finances. Amen. You can change whatever you want. Why? Because let me tell you what. Because the earth has been given to the children. If you got a daddy, you can change your life. Amen. How many have a daddy? I'm asking. How many have a tongue? How many have a tongue? I got a tongue. Come on, you do that. Everybody say that. Everybody. Look, I got a tongue. So I'm trying to get the religiosity out of you. Oh, hallelujah. I don't do silly stuff like that. I will walk in rebellion to the pastor because I will not do that. Oh, my goodness. Here. That spirit, here. You're not welcome here. Amen. You're not welcome here. Somebody say, I got tongue right here. Thank you. Thank you for your silliness. What does the Bible say? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. I thought God was sovereign. He is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. And he gives us the power to change things in this world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Had to set that whole foundation up because you got to understand you're not powerless. You have to understand where Paul writes. He says we're not ignorant to the Satan's devices. When he wrote that, I'm convinced that he was saying there's a group of us who understand what Satan's trying to do. But we can be ignorant to what, we don't have to be, but we can be ignorant to what Satan is trying to do. And I'm telling you right away, here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to deceive you and to think that God sometimes blesses and sometimes he doesn't. And he tries to get you to think that it's all on God and not on you. And I'm here to tell you, theologically, that just doesn't hold weight to the truth. God has given us authority on this earth. So what do we need to do? We need to, and I won't be long. Number one, we need to stay in faith. We need to stay in faith. Number one, we need to stay in faith. You want to bust through there? Listen, there's these levels, and you need to bust through. When we stay in faith, you know what? When we stay in faith, the blessing will come. If you stay in faith. That's what Galatians said. If you don't grow weary in doing good, you will reap if you don't lose heart, if you don't faint. See where the power is? See who it's up to? Why? Because God's a blesser. Look at number one. The Bible says Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. This is in the, do you guys have it? Did you get it in the New American Standard? It says this: if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. One version says, if you're willing, and keep this one here, if you're willing and obedient. Why I like the word consent is because I like willing too, but consent is just understand, wait. We're the ones who get in the way of God's wanting to bless us. See, we have to submit to his will. When we submit to his will, remember when we were little, there was this one game, and they had these marbles, and you'd move different things around, but what you wanted to do is when the things would line up, it would drop down and would go broop, right to the middle. Oh, that was a great game. You guys missed it, okay? You know what? Watch this. All eyes up here. Our will has to get in line with God's will. And when our will gets in line with God's will, bloop, you're going to walk in the blessings. Here's why. Because God, there's no shadow of turning in him. He doesn't one day want to bless you and one day want to curse you. He's not like you. Amen. How many some days you're like all happy about your kids? You know, some days you want to wring your neck. Ah. Amen. Come on. You know, we're in church. You got to tell the truth. If this is not a given, this is an opportunity if we consent. Okay. So number one, we've got to understand when we stay in faith, that's just trusting God, the blessing will come. It will come. Number two, God does not change his mind. God's not like you. You know, one day you love your kids, the other day you want to strangle them. No, God's not like you. God is just consistent. God does not change his mind. James chapter 1, verse 17. Go to 17 first, guys. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's the truth. There's something good in your life, it's because of God. Amen. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said. But watch this. Stay here. Watch this. Go to verse 16. I wanted to show you what it says before that. Look what it says. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. What's the Spirit of God saying to us? Here's what he's saying. Christians are deceived in thinking that God is not the blesser. So he says first, don't be deceived. And then he says, right after that, he says, let me tell you about God. Amen. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights. Amen. Oh, that's deep. I don't know. Some of you missed it. That's deep. Why? Because we get deceived. We're like Eve got deceived. No, God is the blesser. God is not the curser. God is the blesser. Are you catching this? So Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. And a satyrian answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Only speak a word. What? Keep it here. And my servant will be healed. How in the world? Let me tell you what. There's two times that God marveled in the whole New Testament. Only two times that the Bible says that God marveled. One was when he came to his hometown and he is healing people, all kinds of stuff that the doctor said you could never be, leprosy, blindness, deafness, you know, muteness, people who couldn't walk. You know, just healing all kinds of supernatural stuff, gets to his hometown, and you know what? And hardly anybody's getting healed. And he marveled, the Bible says, at their unbelief. Here, we'll park here for a minute. Sometimes we get too comfortable. I'm almost just speak a word to you today. Sometimes we just, you know what? Sometimes we just don't appreciate. I came home last night. I was all happy because we went to somebody's birthday party last night, and my wife had made some macaroni salad. I was all happy because there was some left. Amen. I was like, yes. Okay. And she comes home, and I'm enjoying the macaroni salad, and then she gives me something else. And you know what? just the day before, matter of fact, she had gave me some, you know, I don't like hummus, amen? Keep your hummus to yourself, amen? I don't like hummus, okay? I'm just saying, amen? But she had given me, she said, oh, I got some dip, you know what I mean? She said, oh, it's so good, it's so good, it's so good. I'm like, duh, you know, duh, okay, I'll have some. You know what? And it was some dip, and it was she said, no, it's healthy for you. It was yogurt, and what did it have in it? Yogurt, garlic, lemon juice, and dill. Dill. And I took it, and for like one half second, it tasted good. And then all of a sudden, it just, boom, I was like. So that was just the night before. So last night, I was a little gun shy. You know, I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, wait a minute. But she made some kind of, it was on this thin bread. I don't even know what it had on it. I tasted it. It was so good. Can I tell you what? We need to appreciate what we have. Amen? We need to appreciate what we have. Sometimes, you know what? There's people who are getting divorced, and here's why they're getting divorced. Because they're too busy looking at the 20%. You know what? The 20% that is jacked up. You know, how many recognize you married somebody who's jacked up? Amen. See, you know, you're smarter. You're like, I ain't raising my hand to that one. Thank God, amen. But you know it. But they're too busy looking at the 20% and not looking at the 80%. Amen. And I'm not saying, I think my wife has got a different percentage. Amen. I won't disclose to you what the percentage is. I would just say she reminds me of Mary Poppins. She's perfect. She's what is she? Practically perfect in every way. Amen. But what I'm saying is, you know what? We need to appreciate what we have. We need to appreciate what we have. You know what? Sometimes we can get used to the praise and worship and how awesome it is and become just lethargic, just... Sometimes we can. Sometimes, you know what? How many? This is, patting myself on the back. But how many know we're consistently? You're going to get a good word if you come to this church. Amen. And we can just get. No. Be excited about the things of God. Amen. And this guy, listen. This guy, he comes, and he recognizes. No. God, all you have to do is speak a word. It's all you have to do is speak a word. And my servant will be healed. It's all you have to do. Listen, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the word is never going to pass away. See, God is a blesser, and he understands. God, all you have to do is speak. You don't have to come. You don't have to lay hands. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just speak a word, and my servant will be blessed. Are you catching this? Here's what I want you to catch in this passage. What is he doing? He's getting in line with God. God is our healer. He's not, you know what? He recognizes two places God marvels. When they wouldn't receive, you know what? And this time he says, oh my goodness. All these people that go to church all the time. But this guy understands the things of God. Amen. How many know we need to come to church? But how many know it's we need to not just come to church. We need to understand the things of God. God is our healer. So when he gets in line with the reality of God's in a healer, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. His servant's going to be healed. Why? Because that's the will of God. God has commanded blessings over you. And all you have to do is get in line with what he has said. All you have to do is not take the bait of Satan, which says, you know what? I don't think, wait a minute, is God really a blesser? You know what I mean? Because what about this that happened and this and all these circumstances that you have no idea what's really going on? And you're going to allow those circumstances to change your mind. This guy said, I don't care. It don't make any difference. I know who God is. God is a healer. And all you have to do is speak a word. And what did he do? He got in line with the will of God. And boom, here's what the Bible says. That very same hour that Jesus spoke a word. Doesn't even go over to his house. Just speak a word. And the Bible says that very same hour he received his healing. Okay. I need to pick this up next week. But here's what I want you to catch. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing his mind. He loves you. He wants you blessed. He wants your family blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you getting out of debt. He wants your marriage. You know, well, yeah, but doesn't he want us to go to heaven? Of course he wants us to go to heaven. But I'm tired of Christians. You know what? Yes, fine. Fine. If you're having a hamburger, the most important things are the bun and the meat. Amen? But stop. Who wants to have a hot dog with just a plain hot dog? Who eats a plain hot dog? I don't even understand that. You know what? Yeah, some of you do. Okay, amen. Okay, some of you do, and that's okay. You know what? But it's not okay if all you do, it's okay with a hot dog. It's not okay with Christianity. And that's why the Bible says, no, stop it. Stop forgetting all my benefits. Stop allowing that all what Jesus Christ did, he died on the cross, and you and all you're going to take. Theologically, can I teach? Theologically, see, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. We're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation. People say, hallelujah, amen. And here's what they think it means. It's the power to get somebody from born again. That still doesn't even say it. People think it's the power to get somebody to go to heaven. That's not the power. It's the power to get somebody whole. That's the word, sozo. It means healed. It means delivered. It means whole. It means restored. It means restored. Yes, yes, yes. You can go to heaven. But stop. You don't want eating your hot dog and put nothing on it. Amen. No, put the relish on it. Put the pickles on it. Put the onions on it. Oh, God, help you. Oh, I'm serious. My wife will eat a hot dog with onions and sauerkraut on it. I'm like, ay, 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 ay. Amen. But praise God, at least she's not eating a dog with nothing on it. Amen. Put pickles on it, put onions on it, put sauerkraut, put chili. You know what? Listen, that's how our Christianity should be. That's why the Bible said, don't forget all his benefits.
Well, you know what? Maybe God doesn't want to heal me.
Stop it. That's not who God has revealed himself in the Old and New Testament. That's just not who God has revealed himself to be. So stop allowing Satan to convince you that he's something that he's not. Because let me tell you who God is. God is the blesser. And if you will get in line, if you will stop fighting him on the fact that he wants, there's no shadow of turning him. You line this thing up. You know what? I'll get on the internet, show you this game next week. You line it all up. That's what this guy did. All he did was line it up. As soon as he lined it up, that very hour, he got it. Very hour. You guys learn something? I'm not out of message. I'm just out of time. We'll pick this up next week.
I wrote down the words that were in that scriptures, and many of the scriptures that we went over, but that one scripture, it was, don't grow weary, don't lose heart, and then the next one was to ask for wisdom. So if we're not growing weary, we don't lose heart, and we ask for wisdom. It's interesting because in the churches in Revelation, there's something that they all have in common, every one of them. And here's the three things that they all have in common. Hear, he tells each one of them to hear. He tells each one of them that they're to overcome. And then he tells each one of them that they're to remember the hope. That's don't grow weary, don't lose heart. And ask God to, asking for wisdom is knowing that there's an answer in God. Knowing that, don't lose hope. That is a thread that every one of us has to thread through the needle to be able to, and we see this all over the Word of God. He who endures to the end. Enduring, does it sound like fun? Not growing weary, does that sound like fun? We've become a society. One of the churches, the Church of Laodicea, one of their problems was that they were a self-satisfied church. We've become a society, we don't want to deal with anything negative. We don't want to deal with any kind of pain. We don't want to deal with anything. It's like we don't want to go through anything. If we have to go through something, then we start looking to fix it self instead of looking to God for his wisdom. It's a dangerous mindset to think that everything is going to be lollipops and roses all the time. Because you set yourself up for really to become like the Church of Laodicea who then self-fixes. And whatever that is, you know what? You know what I need? I need a massage. You know what I need? I need to go shopping. You know what I need? I need to go see a doctor. And, you know, I need some medication. You know what I need? Probably what we need is some quiet time with God. In the Word, and to cry out to God and say, God, because every one of those churches, why do I know that about the churches? I've really been looking at the churches in Revelation a lot because I'm very mindful that every one of us is going to give an account. And I'm specifically looking at us as a church. The Lord has just been really dealing with my heart that what he has a will for Pico Rivera and the surrounding cities. And I will be held accountable for his will. But I won't be held accountable alone. We will be held accountable for what does or does not take place here in our city. And I'm just really just seeking God, you know what, is to ask for that wisdom. What exactly? You see, when I stand before him, I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But if I'm not seeking him for the wisdom to fulfill the promise that he has for so many people in this city, because he's doing it through us, by the way, his choice, I think that was the first scripture Pastor started out with. You know, that was God's choice to work with us in partnership on this. And so it will be through his people that he grows his family, that he touches his people. It's going to be through us. So if we're not on the program of picking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following him, then what's going to happen? Because the day is coming when we all answer. And so that just took me to really looking at the churches in Revelation and what he was saying to them and what, you know what I mean? What was going on there to make sure, you know, I want to make sure that we have our chops down. You know what? I want to make sure that we're ready to stand before him. And each one of us just needs to take that personal responsibility that you are responsible for the will of God taking place in this city. I am. And as we walk that out, see, it's the same. God's will, you know what? Everyone's going to have a choice. It's going to be presented, and then they're going to choose. But we're part of presenting it. We're part of making sure that the love of God is seen in this city. You know what? That people, when they look at us, that they see the Jesus that we're supposed to represent. But that they don't see, you know what, something that doesn't reflect God at all as we call ourselves Christ followers. I'm a Christian. You ever met someone who's a Christian, but it's like, whoa, you know what I mean? What Bible are they reading, right? No, seriously, you know what I'm talking about. We laugh, but see, that's kind of crazy because we're going to answer for it. So, and we're all walking out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know what? We're not in this perfection mode, but we better be sober-minded to where we're going and what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? Amen.